Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vaibhav Global Limited Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Disha Shah from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to Ms. Shah.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Vaibhav Global's earnings conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. Today, we have with us Mr. Sunil Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Panwad, Group CFO, and Mr. Prashant Saraswat, Head of Investor Relations. We will begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Sunil Agrawal on the business operations, key initiatives, and a broad outlook, followed by discussion on financial performance by Mr. Nitin Panwad, after which the management will open the forum for Q&A session. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on today's call may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. A detailed statement and explanation of these risks is included in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you all earlier. The company does not undertake to update these forward-looking statements publicly. I would now like to invite Mr. Sunil Agrawal to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Disha. Thank you all for joining us today on this earnings call. I hope you would have reviewed both our results and the presentation that supplies details on business operations and current market trends. Let us begin with operational highlights of Q1 FY 2024. At group level, sales for the quarter were rupees 658 crores, an increase of 4.8% over the same period of last fiscal year. Our five-year CAGR stays healthy at 11%, suggesting robustness of our business model amidst various kinds of economic cycles. In Q1, our gross margins continued to remain healthy at 61.2%. Our in-house manufacturing capabilities and a global sourcing base provides us with a competitive advantage and enabled market-leading gross margins. EBITDA margin for the quarter has been at 10% of revenue, versus 7% in Q1 FY 2023. Similarly, our profit before tax margin was at 4.7% of revenue, versus 3.1% in Q1 FY 2023. Our sustained efforts towards cost optimization and better pricing have enabled us to improve profitability since last couple of quarters. We are confident of continually improving our profitability, led by improved cost efficiencies and sales growth-led leverage. I would now like to touch upon each of our addressable retail markets. The consumer demand across territories was affected by macro challenges like high inflation and consequent rapidly increased interest rates. In U.S. and U.K., consumer sentiments are still muted from a historic perspective, but are showing signs of improvement lately. Our efforts to outreach customers and household expansion continues in all the markets. We are augmenting our reach by adding more TV cable and OTA households. Additional marketing in OTT or connected TV homes also continues, as here, such customers' lifetime value is high versus traditional TV customers. Germany is faring well and clocking monthly revenue of €1.5 million at gross margin of 60%+. Recently, we added 13 million households through partnership with Vodafone, one of the largest cable TV service providers. With this arrangement, Shoppers in Germany now cover almost 90% of total households in Germany and Austria. We are expecting to get additional distribution in Germany in Q3, which would get us over 95% of market penetration. As these airtime opportunities are not easily available, we will not hesitate to invest. With these investments, we now expect reaching breakeven in Germany by H2 of FY25. We continue to gain market share across all the markets that we operate in. Further, the 4 R's, widening reach, new customer registration, customer retention, and repeat purchases are our key priorities for growth. The reach of our TV network by end of Q1 FY24 was approximately 141 million TV homes, which is 11% higher YOY. We reach TV homes through cable, satellite, telco networks, and over-the-air antenna, also called OTA platforms. Our products are also available on digital channels, including proprietary websites, smartphone apps, OTT platforms, and marketplaces. New registrations in trailing 12-month period came in at 3.1 lakhs. Our customer retention rates are at 38% on TTM basis, vis-a-vis 41% of last year. Customers bought an average of 23 pieces on TTM basis. Both repeat and retention were slightly lower due to higher price point and broader macro challenges. Sustainability is at the core of everything we do. We are delighted to announce that recently we issued our second annual ESG report. The report reflects our efforts towards value creation with focus and ethical business practices. We are delighted to receive the Net Zero Energy Building Certification by IGBC in India. Out of 3,600 nationwide green certified projects, only 16 projects across India have been recognized. Our organization is one of them. Further, it is my honor to share that this quarter we surpassed the milestone of donating over 78 million meals to school children since inception of our midday meal program called Your Purchase Feeds. We are serving approximately 48,000 meals every school day. This initiative aligns with our commitment to make a positive impact on the communities we serve. We have a strong balance sheet. We are confident in our strategies and our team. Our outlook for medium to long term remains intact. We will deliver our original guidance of 8 to 10% revenue growth in FY24 and mid-teens growth FY24 onwards. We will gain strong operating leverage in current as well as next financial year. Our focus is on growth and profitability with prudent capital management. We have a robust cash flow model and a record of returning meaningful cash to shareholders. The board has declared first interim dividend of Rs. 1.5 per equity share for this year. With this, I now hand over the call to Nitin to discuss financial performance. Over to you, Nitin.
Thank you, Sunil. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me share our quarterly financial performance with you. During quarter one of financial year 23-24, our revenue reached Rs. 658 crores, showing year-over-year growth of 4.8%. Our five-year CAGR for overall revenue and B2C revenue stays healthy at 11% and 13% respectively, suggesting robustness of our business model.
As Sunil mentioned earlier, our addressable market in US and UK are facing temporary challenges like inflation, muted consumer sentiments, and macro uncertainties. In local currency, revenue in Shopensy US, Shoptjc UK, were down by 4.9% and 6.9% respectively. The broader macro indicators have shown some sign of improvement lately. We continue to perform well in Germany, particularly after collaborating with Vodafone, major cable TV network provider. We are also under discussion to get additional distribution in Germany by Q3 to increase our coverage in high definition to over 95% of households. If these real-time opportunities are really available, we will not hesitate to invest. And we are now expecting reaching break-even in Germany by H2 FY25. This quarter, TV revenue grew by 1.5% year-over-year to Rs. 392 crores, with 5-year CAGR of 10%. While digital revenue in Q1 FY24 increased to 7.7% year-over-year to 237 crores. It has shown much stronger 5-year CAGR of 20%. The digital segment's strong performance is attributed to wider discovery potential. TV contribution to our retail revenue is 62%, while balance 38% occurs from digital media. TV includes customers accessing our products through our proprietary TV channels that reach their homes, both conventional TV media as well as free-to-air channels, code and OTA platforms. Digital includes online purchases on our own proprietary website, shopping apps, OTT and social e-commerce. Budget pay revenue constitutes approximately 39% of our total retail revenue during this period, providing a hassle-free and affordable experience to our customers, especially in this current inflationary environment. Jewelry accounted for 73% of total retail sales, with 27% of revenue occurring from lifestyle products. We aim to diversify into non-jewelry areas to achieve a better revenue balance. Additionally, it also improves our ability to take higher wallet share out of the same customer. Gross margin in Q1 continued to remain strong at 61.2%. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 10% versus 7% in quarter one last year. Better pricing and sustained efforts towards cost rationalization have helped us to continuously improve EBITDA margin since last few quarters. Profit after tax for the quarter is Rs. 30 crores against Rs. 20 crores of last year. Operating cash flow was Rs. 0.3 crores and free cash flow was negative 10 crores. Cash flow numbers reflect impact of planned increase in our inventory for upcoming season. We expect this to revert to normal level in upcoming months. ROCE and ROE of 16% and 9% respectively reflect impact of subdued profitability on TTM basis. However, the ratio have improved sequentially owing to improving profitability during the immediate few quarters. As a company, we are committed to creating long-term value through strategic development, prudent investment, and consistent payouts, as the board has paid recommended an interim dividend of Rs. 1.5 per equity share. We are confident in the business prospect ahead of us and are investing to capture growth and continuous healthy cash generation. We remain confident of our prospects and will deliver our stated guidance of 8 to 10% revenue growth in current financial year and mid-teen growth from FY25 onwards. With a strong operating leverage in current as well as next financial year. With this, I hand over to moderator. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Shreyans Jain from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my first question is, could you give us some more sense on the improvement in EBITDA margins that we've seen? So there is an improvement of about 200 odd bips in your other operating expenses. And the presentation, it is clearly mentioned that there is some improvement in the sense of logistics cost and advertisement. So just wanted to understand, sir, is it because of the, we've seen some volume degrowth, about 15% and 20% in US and UK. So is it because of that? And just wanted some more color on the other operating expenses bit.
Thanks, Shreyans. Let me hear. So the improvement in EBITDA margin is partially, as we mentioned in our investor presentation, is related to our logistic cost improvement. So there is a reason of lower volume, but also internal control improvement in related to orders clubbing, and also the negotiation with the shipping partners that help to reduce overall per piece cost of the logistics side. And in others, improvement in cost is mainly related to our negotiation in our IT contracts and our marketing spends that we optimized in our digital as well as our traditional marketing. So that overall helped to improve our expenditures overall last year.
Okay. When I see your annual report and when I see your other expenses break up, your IT spends and your advertising and marketing spends are not that big a number to significantly improve your EBITDA margins. So that's where the question is, you know, because 50% of your other operating expenses are largely content and broadcasting. So I don't think that would have gone down significantly, right? Because you've added Germany also.
So that is flat year over year, excluding Germany. Germany is the 0.3% decline that you see in the profit compared to last year. In rupees terms, is related to only airtime cost. In constant currency terms, it is flat. There is no change in the over last year. And last year, we had some kind of contracts with the IT side, especially the marketing clouds and the commerce clouds that we spent, it was coming. That is now we optimize and also the learning related to digital marketing has helped to improve our overall marketing cost.
Okay. Okay, and my second question is, sir, the last quarter, the MD had guided for Germany operations to break even from H2 of FY24. And in this presentation, we are clearly saying that Germany operations would break in by H2 of FY25. So, in some sense, are we postponing the thing that we think it will get delayed by a year?
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is Sunit here. So as we mentioned, we are getting more opportunity for airtime. And Nitin also mentioned we are getting HD opportunity in a major player. So these two investments we have decided to make, and they will come into play in Q3. And with that investment, our profitability will be postponed because new airtime takes 12 to 18 months to mature. But we are continuing making the investments. And with these investments in place, we'll we are confident of delivering operating leverage over the last year, for continuous 2 years, for this financial year as well as the next financial year.
Okay. And my last question, sir, in both TV and digital, we are seeing a volume drop, but on the other side, we are seeing improvement in your ASPs. So could you give us some sense on both the volumes as well as the ASP, where do you see it heading? And in such an environment, also ASPs have been going up. So just wanted some understanding on what is really happening on the ground.
In the current inflationary environment, we are seeing people buying more higher-end like gold product or diamond product or certified product. That pushes the ASP up. And with the ASP going up, the volume drops. But overall revenue is almost close to being steady in the local currency terms.
Okay, sure. Thanks. I'll come back in.
Thank you.
Sure.
A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello Sunil and thanks for this call. Sir, this previous answer which you mentioned about, you know, lower volumes and higher pricing, So generally in a, you know, I couldn't understand, usually in a softer environment, people tend to downtrade. So here there is an higher pricing. So is it that the offerings that we are showcasing right now is higher priced? It's a little bit difficult to comprehend what you mentioned.
Yeah, in the current inflationary environment, people buying more gold products. Our traditional offering was more silver product or base metal product. But current environment we are seeing, like gold chain or certified diamond product or platinum product, so we are seeing more offtake of those products, and that pushes up the overall average selling price.
Okay.
Now, as the inflationary environment subsides, we suspect that this kind of pull may be lesser on these, and we will revert back to our regular or slightly lower ASP, and the volumes will again go back up. This is our current understanding of the market environment. It may modify, but we'll continue to look at the opportunity and modify our offering appropriately.
So this is transitionary in nature, what has happened, right?
Correct.
Okay.
We see it as a transitionary.
Okay. My second question is on the reduction in the retention and the repeat purchases. So any comments there, what's actually happening?
Yeah, so one is the macro environment, where some people just are not in the market to buy. So they are pushed because of inflation. For example, in UK, the mortgages have tripled or doubled or tripled, even quadrupled for many people. So the interest rate from less than 1% has now gone up to 6%. And in the US, not all mortgages are variable. People are fixed mortgages. But credit card costs or the rental costs or the food costs have gone up. So one is the macro environment. And second thing is that the higher price point that we offer, there are lower number of customers from those higher price points. And that would tell you about the number of customers and the repeat purchase being lower.
Okay. On the cost side, you know, costs were largely stagnant for, you know, I saw it for the last 7-8 quarters after the Germany operation creation. Whether we see the employee cost or whether we see the OPEX cost, you know, it moves in 230 to 250 crores per quarter. So, this number, how will it change once you add this more cable connections or reach in Germany? And
we have NDAs for all the cable contracts. We can't disclose the exact number of that, Pritesh, but we have guided that for this financial year as well as next financial year, we expect to have strong leverage because we believe that the cost optimization that we are in place, as well as the revenue growth that we expect 8-10% this year, and mid-teen for next year, this revenue leverage will give us, revenue increase will give us margin leverage.
So despite the connection increases, there will be an operating leverage which will flow.
Correct.
And when you say substantial, you know, sometime back we were, let's say, at about 13-15% margin, and then we created you know, this Germany expansion. So how far, so you gave us the volume growth, so revenue growth guidance, but how far are we from those 13-15% margin of the business?
Yeah, Pritesh, we can't give exact idea. We don't give exact guidance on the margin side, but we do expect leverage over last year and the next year over current year. And this meaningful leverage that you just saw in this quarter.
Okay. And so my last question is, ex-Germany, so, you know, ex of Germany, what is the margin in the business? So US and UK were our main operations. So either you can give us the impact of Germany on margin percentage, you know, some idea?
Yeah, so excluding Germany, our margins will, Germany is impacting around 2.5% of our margins, EBITDA margins. So you can consider as like 10% we reported in last quarter.
Yeah.
It will be 2.5% additional.
Okay, so and for last year, that is March 23 fiscal, where we reported 7%. So there also this 2.5-3% impact.
Yeah, so slightly lower on that time. Yeah, you can say pretty much similar. Sales numbers was lower as well. So somewhere this number. We don't have exact number.
No, we want a ballpark number only. We don't want exact. Okay.
Ballpark will be similar like
this. 2.5% negative impact. Okay. Yes. And so lastly, this 5% growth which was reported in quarter one, how much of it is, let's say, favored by the 5% decline which was there in quarter one last year? Because there is some base which I can see, or should we, you know, just ignore that for your guidance of 8 to 10% top line growth this year?
Yeah, so our guidance remain same, 8 to 10%. But 5% growth this quarter you see is an improvement in our overall business in UK, US, and accelerating Germany business is helping us to get the 5% growth. But full year guidance remain intact of 8 to 9%, 8 to 10%.
So there is a better business environment versus what it was in the last few quarters. Because see, one way is that I look at this 5% as it is, but one way is I look at this 5% on -8% of last year. So that's the reason why I asked you. Do you see a improvement in business environment?
Pradesh, can you repeat the question, please?
Sir, one way is that I look at this 5% growth which is reported in the year on a, you know, absolute basis, but the other way is I look at this 5% versus the 8% decline which was there in the base quarter. So I just want to check, is there a improvement, do you see an improvement in business environment, or is just that you are favored by this 8% base effect?
So both things, environment. It started with the war in Ukraine and the logistics problems and then resultant inflation and the fear of recession. That was pretty tough in these economies. So we are seeing some improvement in the environment in recent weeks or recent months, but there is a base effect, definitely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pradesh.
We'll take the next question from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I'm new to your company and just wanted to get a understanding of your business model. So if you could just help explain and throw some light on it, it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Utkarsh, that's a big question for this call. So we have vertical business with manufacturing of fashion jewelry, apparel, and sourcing of lifestyle products from India and Asia. And we have our own retail, electronic retail in US, UK, and Germany. Predominant sales come from television, live television 24/7. And about 37%, 38% comes from in these markets. Our focus is on being value-centric and highly customer-centric retailer in these markets. And we have very high repeat purchase frequency. We have on an average about 27 products customers buy a year from us.
Okay.
And we have a cost model very, very efficient. Our costs are mostly Asian. Revenue are dollars, pounds, and euros.
Okay, so essentially you manufacture in India and Asia, and you retail it in US, UK, Germany. Is that correct?
Correct, and we own the brand, we own our retail. Our brand is our own. We don't have third-party brands. And majority of the product that we sell is our own branded product or our own umbrella brand products. So we don't have a fear of third party having leverage over us.
And you retail essentially on TV, you mentioned, right? Like, and you don't have physical retail stores? How does that
work? Don't have any physical retail. No, we don't have any physical retail. It is on TV network, live TV shopping, and about 38% through website.
Okay. And sir, if I were to kind of understand your right to win and a moat, if you so you hold any moat, is there anything you could throw some light on that?
Yeah, so number one is being a vertical model is very, very difficult to replicate. People may either be manufacturer or they may be retailer. So we are in retail in an industry which is highly competitive, in a market which is highly competitive, and we are manufacturers for the last more than 40 years. So we understand the spaces of these areas very, very well. To have a replication of this vertical model is extremely difficult. And a low-cost structure all across the business, whether in Asia or in the Western world, that is also difficult. And the customer are highly loyal, as you could see from the repeat purchase. So the customer buys 27 products a year, and it is very difficult to take those customers away because of the loyalty and the brand affinity.
Thank you, sir. As the current participant has left the queue, we move on to the next question, which is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Congress, for a good set of numbers. On the Germany, I just wanted for a couple of your inputs. One is that this acceleration investment that we are talking of, so is it an investment that we now will have to make to meet our targets, maybe from a medium term? Take, for example, we must have some internal targets on Germany for FY26. So these additional investments are now, you know, extra investments that are required to achieve the FY26 targets or 27 targets? Or will it mean that, yes, while, you know, we delay the break-even by 1 year, but on a medium to long term, we are looking at a much larger opportunity and a larger profit pool in Germany?
Yeah, good question, Sachin. So airtime, it's not something that you can go and buy. You have network, you have to make relationships, and you get offered those network positions. For example, say there are limited channels in each platform, and those channels rarely come to the market. So we take those channels whenever they come, whether it is Germany, US, or UK. In Germany, we got this opportunity for getting an HD on Vodafone. Vodafone is 13 million homes, so we already have a channel there. We're getting second channel in HD. The first channel was in SD, that is standard definition versus high definition. So we are taking this HD channel that will come to us in September. And there's another broadcaster called Tele Columbus. So we are taking that opportunity that will also come to us in September. Now these investments that we do, it takes about a year to year and a half for this to become profitable. And that's why the revenue will accelerate because of these investments, but the ROI will start to come after 1 year. That's why we are postponing our profitability by 1 year in the expectation of scaling the business faster than our original plan.
So just to again reframe it, so is it fair to then assume that internally, and I don't want a specific guidance or number from you, but internally, say what we are budgeting for financial year 26 and 27, say before we did this Vodafone deal, is very likelihood that we will do much better than that now? Internally, without sharing a specific number with us, you could just tell us that. That will be very helpful.
That is correct. Because of the investment, our projections for 23, 24, 25, and 26 will be higher, most definitely.
Sure. And how will this call work out? In the sense, sir, will the Germany losses, because I believe with this acceleration in investment, you will also start to see some revenue growth. Is it that, you know, the absolute, it is just a delay and hence the absolute EBITDA losses will not increase? Or because of this, there could also be again, once again, a surge for the next 4 quarters in the absolute EBITDA of Germany before we start to see, you know, some sort of a reduction or a break-even, as you have mentioned.
Yeah, so we are already seeing year-over-year improvement into our EBITDA number. Slightly, almost flattish, but very little improvement in recent weeks. Because what we invested in earlier periods. But as we take on a new market, so initial periods will have more negative because of the investment. It takes time to build that customer list. And the customer repeat purchase is very high on TV models. So as time goes, after 6 months or 9 months, it will be beneficial to us year over year in terms of EBITDA.
So H2 there could be some impact here because of this Vodafone deal on the Germany as well as the overall number.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
In second half of financial, so there could be an impact on the actual debit and some impact on margins because of the one-time step up in the spend in Germany. And
correct. So the spend is, there's no one-time spend. You have to pay them every month. So
yeah,
that is true. As it comes on board in September, it will come in the middle of September. One will come in the beginning and one will come towards the end of September. So we'll see some impact in a particular quarter. But each quarter, we expect overall for the group to have operating leverage over last year. Now, operating leverage over last year, one factor, as Pritesh earlier mentioned, there's a factor of base being lower last year, and other is our cost optimization. Now, for Germany, the cost is higher, but other in US and UK, there are cost optimization that is helping overall for us to get the leverage year over year.
Sure. And sir, one question on the interest rate and its impact, because we, I believe we also have an installment model, and as you mentioned that the rates have gone up. So did it also have some bearing on us? Because I'm sure somewhere there's a cost inbuilt into the, you know, cost of interest in this installment model. So has that had any impact, or is it that we have got the entire impact of the increased interest rates in the installment model? If you could just give some input on that.
Yeah, sure. So our interest rate, our EMI budget pay that we call, it is, there is no interest free for the consumers. We bear the cost of financing. For the consumer, there is no impact. However, consumer is taking as a favorably this in current, especially in inflationary environment, as the financing for the consumer is expensive now, and as a VGL group that we are giving the item to the customer, is no interest cost. So as a company balance sheet and company's profitability, there is no impact on it. Because we also having some spare funds that we are investing, that's why the other income is also increased. If you see in our P&L, our interest income is also higher on that. But on the consumer side or budget pay side, that we don't see the impact in our P&L for interest.
And sir, where do we book this impact of this funding the easy pay model, the cost to the company, is part of other expenses or is adjusted in the interest income? How do you account for it?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, there is no interest cost for us because we finance from our own funds. So only bad debt is the part of the P&L, if there is any bad debt. That is in our SG&A cost line item. But on the P&L side, there is no financial impact. Only balance sheet, if you see, there is a debtors. We're standing somewhere around $20 million, but I don't have the number, but somewhere around that. Only balance sheet, you will see the debtors outstanding at the end of the season.
Yes, but with the, so to your point, there's opportunity cost of the fund that we deploy. The $20 million, if we had in the bank today, so we would get 5 or 6% interest rate in terms of rupee. That income of that $20 million is a foregone kind of cost to the company.
Got it. And sir, because of this inflationary environment and the higher cost of living, are you seeing any trends where your defaults or your bad debts on this outstanding amount of $20 million has been increased, and hence this year or next year you may have to provide more towards these bad debts?
Yeah. So we have seen kind of very robust credit giving to the customer model. That we constantly monitor this, and we haven't seen an impact in increasing our bad debt so far. But we regularly review it, that how the impact, especially in current situation. But we haven't seen an impact or a higher impact compared to previous periods.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ritik Tulsian from Concept Invest Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a question regarding Germany. So we are making additional investments, right? And currently Germany contributes 6% of revenue in terms of geography. So in 2-3 years, where do we see Germany heading in terms of geography contribution? So that is my first question.
So, thank you for the question, Hrithik. So, we have internal projections, but we are not sharing that as a projection where we see those growth rates. The current growth rates are very, very high, but how it will shape, it is still too new a market to be able to give a guidance on that. And we are only a year and a half or just about that into those markets. But what I can say from other players like Qurate Groups and other players, Germany has more households than U.K., and for them, the Germany revenue is more than U.K. So we expect in longer term, maybe 7-8 years term, Germany surpassing U.K. by about 20%-30%.
Okay, thank you. That is good enough. And second question is regarding your own brand portfolio. So, like, if you can give us some color, like, how your own brand portfolio is panning out in this environment. That is my second question.
Yeah. So we have two levels of brand. One is the umbrella brand. For example, U.S. and Germany, we have Shop LC, and U.K. is TJC. So most of our customers know us by the umbrella brand. And then within umbrella brands, we have many sub-brands. We have more than 30 sub-brands for different product categories and different price points. And we have designer brand, we have product-centric brands. So overall, about 29% of our revenue comes from our own B2C brand. And we have about 31 house brands within the umbrella brand. And our target is to take it to 50%, from 29% to 50% by FY27 from house brands.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Sure, Hrithik.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kimberly P.S. from Equentis Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So, in our recent analyst day, we have guided that we are also targeting an increasing share from non-jewelry products, like lifestyle products. So I think we had a target of 50%, by FY26. So how are we progressing on that? And, also, what will be the margin difference between jewelry and non-jewelry products?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Kimberly. So in last earnings call, we had extended the lifestyle jewelry, lifestyle product revenue to be 50/50 to FY28. The reason is that in last 1.5 years, we are seeing more uptake of jewelry, especially the higher price point jewelry in inflationary environment. We do not yet know how long will the inflationary environment will last, and we are seeing lower uptake of non-jewelry products, especially in U.S. In U.K., we are seeing still robust uptake on non-jewelry products, but because of U.S. being lower, we have changed the guidance to 50/50 of LSP jewelry by FY28 now.
Okay, and what will be the margin difference between jewelry and non-jewelry?
So margin is about similar. So what we do, Kimberly, is to select product that gives us our margin. So we don't take any product, whether jewelry or non-jewelry, which would give us less than 50% margin. So margin is not a criteria for us to think that this would not do. What we look at, we get that 60%, and the product should give us our targeted margin per minute of TV time or expected revenue from the website, from the pages that we have. So we have the criteria in place, and our product gives us the margin, and we take it in. Otherwise, we phase it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, just follow up on Germany. Can you give us some insight on the sensitivity of investment in this sense?
Mr. Kasera, may we request you to kindly use your handset? So your audio is feeble.
Yes.
Is it clear now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the sensitivity of this investment that they're going additional, doing additional investment in Germany. So, if suppose the investment is going to increase by 20%, say in FY26, we will now get 20% higher sales, or is there a leverage out there also? So that, unless if you are planning a sales of 100 rupees in FY26 in Germany, but now that we are going to spend 20, 30, 40%, whatever the tax number higher, the sales would be higher and my profit would be higher by X plus Y percentage.
Yeah, so good question. So the television revenue in Germany is about 70% and the e-com is 30%. So if we, for example, if we increase our investment by 20%, the expected revenue after 1.5 years is 20% higher on TV side. And the high leverage business, the 20% higher revenue, large portion of that revenue outside the spend that we do on the airtime falls to the bottom line. So that is why we take the airtime opportunity whenever it comes within our price range, we take it. Because the leverage benefit is very high.
Sure. And sir, till this time, Germany reaches a good level of profitability, we don't intend to take up any markets, or for example, in the way Germany, we got an attractive opportunity and hence we increase the investment in the business. Similarly, if another good opportunity comes either in the existing market or in a new market, we are still open to that, because that would, you know, would be that again, we are pushing the overall, you know, guidance of the numbers for 25, 26 again by a year. So.
Yeah, so your first question, will we take that? We don't believe so, because we are very cash positive. We are giving dividends every quarter. So there is no need to take any debt. Second thing, going into new market, we will we'll expand into new market after Germany becomes profitable and steadily growing. Then we'll go into the new country. Now, once we go into new country, we'll have three growing and profitable businesses to support the fourth one.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sachin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
So I just have a follow-up. X of Germany, let's say your stable operations of UK and US, there is a deterioration in profitability over the last 3 years for the flat sales. Minor drop in sales. So if you could explain this deterioration over the last 3 years, what explains it? Have we added any cable households there which has taken up the cost, or any reason you want to highlight and explain us? And the reference is, let's say you were at the peak at about 13-15% margin, and from there we have come down. And, Germany explains a part of it, but a larger part also gets explained by the fact that there is a deterioration in the US-UK margin.
Thanks, Pritesh, for the question. So, as you have mentioned, that one of the reasons was Germany, that is reducing the overall EBITDA margin, but also that there is an operating deleverage came when we have seen a decline in our sales. In the scenario of improvement in our profitability, we invest heavily in our upcoming future quarters growth. We invested in our digital marketing, in our website platform upgrades, in our shopping apps. That for the we are confirming our future potential growth. So that was the investment that we have done on that time. That is also that came later on, and then 2021 we have seen some pressure on the cost side, that is actually impacted the overall profitability in our UK and US markets.
So you say there are two reasons. One is the investments in digital, and second is the cost increase in the operations themselves of US and UK. These are two reasons.
Yeah. So let me clarify that question, Pritesh. So we made investments into new businesses, Germany being one, and digital brands, Stamps.com, which are getting even two more. And we also invested.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is not clear.
Yes. So, In addition to Germany, we invested into digital marketing, that is through Tamsi, Rachel Galley, those two brands, as well as all the three brands within US, UK, Germany. We also invested quite a bit into digital marketing, Google, Facebook, TikTok, in these investments also, so to get the future growth on them. And also a lot of people for managing new businesses. And those people that we invested in are still there. So we didn't remove those investments from the business because we see potential in them. So as we scale and those big businesses become profitable, our leverage will come into play.
Okay.
And based on those leverages, we are now giving a guidance of, even if the revenue growth is subdued, for example, now revenue growth is only 4.8%, but there's substantial leverage that we saw this quarter, 2 years before. And those came from some of those investments maturing and some cost optimization on volume and shipping.
Okay. Okay. And what will be our tax rate?
Our EPR is 24% for our overall group.
Thank you, Vaiman.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pritesh.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So just wanted to ask about the digital revenue mix of about 38% that has come in. How has that impacted the overall profitability? And if we see over the last few quarters, how has the digital revenue mix changed? You know, if you could throw some light on that, please.
So last 5 years, digital revenue CAGR was 20%. So it was pretty healthy in the last 5 years. And digital profitability side, so would you like to add?
So from digital properties, we have within digital, we have three properties. We have live TV on e-com. That is true for the customers who don't get the signal on TV. The second is the catalog. The third is the auction. So all the products that are leftovers from television, we auction at $1 and people bid against each other and scale it up. So as we are increasing our overall digital revenue, that auction model, which is low margin, is not increasing. That, in dollar terms, is pretty flat. What is increasing is the catalog and the live television, live streaming. And those margins, both of those margins are similar to TV margins. So as we are scaling our digital revenue, our margin doesn't have any dilution. We'll still continue to give guidance of 60% plus, even though we are giving digital versus TV revenue to be 50-50 by FY26. But our margin guidance is stays intact of 60% plus.
Okay, okay, understood. All right. Thank you, sir. That was the only question from my end. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rohan.
The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, you have mentioned that you will retain your guidance of mid-teens growth in the medium term, but you also mentioned that in Germany now we are looking at a much larger revenue than what internally you were projecting. So is it that because of the change in macro environment, we are, you know, looking like compensating the higher growth in Germany in the medium term from, you know, the projected lower you know, revenues in US or UK? Or is it that because you have still not made the investment, hence you want to be conservative and retain it? We may revisit the guidance maybe 3 or 4 quarters down the line once you see the benefit of this Vodafone.
Yes. So next year's guidance of mid-teens do take into account of improved economic conditions. We do not know at what level it will improve, so we do expect it to improve. Germany will increase, and it's increasing very rapidly, but the base is still very small. So as you saw, the overall business revenue for Germany is just around 6%. It's still pretty small. Even if you're seeing a growth of 50%, it's still only 9%. And doesn't add meaningfully to overall growth that we are looking at. But we are expecting economy to improve a bit, and also the investments that we made to OTA, OTT, digital marketplaces, and our own brands, they will also contribute along with Germany.
Yeah, but sir, I'm sure you would not have budgeted the Vodafone investment and its revenue implication when we met this guidance, say, 2 quarters back, right?
Yeah, so we did 2 quarters ago, when what we made investment into Vodafone was already in the picture when we gave the guidance on next year, this financial year, H2. So that was already baked in. But the additional investment that we're going to make in September, that was not baked in. Now, those will push the profitability all to the next year, but we are also now giving guidance of continued guidance of mid-teen for the next year. Earlier, what we did was we gave mid-teen for mid-term. Now we are specifically giving mid-teen for next financial year on the back of what we are seeing in Germany, and we are also seeing green shoots in UK and US.
Sure. And just one clarification, one of the questions you mentioned that 6-7 years down the line, Germany would be 20-30% higher than UK. That is as of now your assumption, or that is what you can as of now forecast.
That is correct. So we don't know exactly 6-7 years. It could be 7 years or 8 years or 6 years, somewhere around that, yes.
Sure. And any sense you could give us when do you expect Germany to start matching UK? Say that should be much earlier, say next 3 to 5 years.
That is too specific. We are not giving that guidance that far away. But what I can say is the market potential for Germany is larger than UK.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Can I hear you?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, sir. A good set of numbers. Only one question I had. So, considering the company's growth ambitions, are there any new market or regions that are being targeted for potential entry in near-term future?
So, we're not looking to enter a new country till we have Germany profitable and growing rapidly. So, once we have Germany fully stable, and the other entities, UK and US, are back to our double-digit growth, we won't be going to new countries.
But oh,
we have Japan as our next target whenever we are ready from these perspectives. Having said that, if we get an opportunity to expand to e-com space within these three countries, we will do that.
Okay, sir, but not in this financial year, right?
Yeah, so we have the cash. If we get any opportunity to acquire a business into these three countries, which is pure e-com and is growing and is profitable, we will. So there's no timetable for that, but we are open to those thoughts and we keep looking at the opportunities.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Dalal, an individual investor.
So when we say that 90% household we have already reached in Germany and still we see increase in investments over there, is there anything that the management is looking, any inorganic opportunity out there? Anything to read in that, sir?
So in Germany, we are looking with the new investments we'll make. One is in the HD platform on Vodafone. In March, we made the investment to go on SD, standard definition. Now we're getting the opportunity for high definition on Vodafone. There's another opportunity we're getting on Tele Columbus for full footprint on their platform. These two opportunities we are going to take in September. Now, inorganic opportunities in Germany, we are not specifically looking for Germany, but any opportunity comes in US, UK or Germany, predominantly in US or UK, we will take it, provided we are conservative, so it has to be profitable, it has to be scalable business.
Okay, so what you explained, by September, that will eventually take up the household reach to 95%, right?
That is correct. Plus HD on 13 million homes. So
mm-hmm.
On 13 million homes, we have 2 channels now.
Got it, sir. Thank you. So nothing on the table in terms of any inorganic opportunity in Germany right now?
Not right now.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Parth.
Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Agarwal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, operator. So I want to thank all the participants for your time and great questions. If you have any further questions, feel free to reach out to Prashant Saraswat at VGL or Amit Sharma at AdFactors PR India, and they'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Vaibhav Global Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.